This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusumano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Picket lines.
Let it breathe.
Don't punish me.
We got a lot of time. Just kidding. We have lots of there's a lot to talk about here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Carly Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, the Peoria Plowboy on the board.
I'm digging the tunes today, by the way.
Frank has that signature music that you just know.
Night Shift played earlier is one of my favorites. It's one of my go-tos. Like, yeah, that's super sweet.
Everything has a little soul to it. Here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box, get your texts in on the text line, 855-282-8255. Your thoughts on Game 5 tonight. And right now, Brian, we have a little segment we like to call Five for the Guys.
Five for the Guys.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank.
The Guys.
Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Okay, so let's start off with that that supposed Warriors minority owner. Mark Stevens, you're him. What were you thinking exactly last night? Lowry did not land on you. He landed a couple seats away from you. You had to reach across to first shove him, however lightly it might have been, but also, according to Kyle, say some unpleasant things to him. What were you thinking?
I will say this. I did not know it was the minority owner until just on this show when you're starting to read that.
By the way, the Warriors have announced that he is banned from attending the rest of the NBA Finals.
Okay, that's a good start.
That's a good start.
I'm just wondering, though, because, look, the fact that he's an owner shouldn't change the fact. Like, last night, Kyle Lowry, in his postgame, said, I hope that guy's never allowed to go to an NBA game again. And I have to say, I agree with that. Yeah. Should it change because he's a minority owner?
No.
I mean, you know, if you get into a physical altercation with another player, I mean, that's different, obviously. But this guy's a minority owner, but he's still a fan sitting there. And it's very clear that he didn't hurt Kyle Lowry, but still, that shouldn't matter. He very obviously pushed Kyle Lowry, a player right in front of him. And you can't do that. I mean, I think this guy should never be allowed to go to a game. I don't know if you have to, like, take away his minority stake in the team, but still, like, you can't touch another person.
Well, it's an easy math equation. Millions of dollars, a big title equals very little to no consequences. Like we were talking about during the break, if this was a regular fan, you're talking, there would have been a statement maybe late last night, if not early this morning, saying the fan can no longer attend any NBA games. Now, it's a completely different story. They obviously took all morning to do so.
It's a requirement. If you're sitting in those seats, even within the first two rows of those seats, you know that's a possibility and that's going to happen. And if you can't take that, you should not, don't even think about sitting down there. Reality is you're probably going to get hit with a player, by a player, or a ball, or something. You don't have the thick skin for that. Get out of there. The other thing is there's got to be a fine for this guy. There's got to be some type of, I don't know, classes or something that he's going to be required to take. Just shameful. It really is. And poor Lowry, I mean, he's just out there playing the game.
And that's where, do you think the fact that he is a minority owner should change the consequences? It
no,
shouldn't.
Absolutely no. Not.
And that's why last night when I hear Kyle Lowry say he should never be at a game, I'm like, yeah, I agree with them. I don't think it should change the fact that he's a minority owner of the team. If anything, you should know better if you're the owner or a minority owner of a franchise. You're not just some Hoosier fan sitting there, right? That's all.
Yeah, that's true.
Drunk, you know.
He could be a Hoosier rich guy.
Game.
We don't know. Those exist
that's
too.
That's true. But still, I mean, you can't push a player. That's no. Just ridiculous.
All right, number two, five for the guys. Your NBA commissioner, Adam Silver. Drake was already mentioned, and him glad handing and rubbing shoulders and maybe getting in an argument with Draymond Green. You have the instance last night. You're getting a little nervous about all these close encounters between fans, super fans, owners, even regular fans and players. They seem to be creeping up a little bit more recently.
I've always thought, actually, that the NBA, it's crazy the way they set up their benches. Look at any other sport. Baseball, you have the brick. You have the netting. We should have more netting, but still. Hockey, you obviously have the glass. Football, there are too many people on the field with the passes and all that, all the friends and family. But still, you have the wall separating most of the fan base. If you ever look at an NBA bench, you literally have fans sitting next to the coach.
Yep.
I mean, you have a fan who's probably spending, what, five figures a ticket, whatever it is. But he's sitting right next to the players. To me, that makes absolutely no sense. For safety of the players, safety of the fans, if you have drunk people right there and they're talking a mess and they're... And I get it. That's part of the game. But don't you want that to be separated a little bit? I mean, back in the day, you had that famous heckler
in Washington.
In Washington, right?
Yep.
But he wasn't sitting right next to Michael Jordan. He might have been a couple rows back but right. I just don't think you should have fans sitting right next to the benches.
Yeah, there's got to be a little more space there. Agreed. Here's the other side of it, however you want to look at it. Today's fans a little more braver. It's a better way to put it. You want to use the word stupid. That's another word, but... They're a little more brash about what they will do and what they won't do.
I think with those, the front row people, they know how much the seat costs, and therefore maybe they feel more entitled to what they can do.
Yeah, there's a truth in that.
I think there's an element of that.
There is. Hey,
I paid $3,000 for this seat. If I'm going to poke this player and curse at him, by golly, I'm going to do it.
Especially when you get liquored up. You get a lot braver.
Yeah, element of that also. Yep. Yeah, probably. All right, number three, Five for the Guys, brought to you by Greenville University. You are Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. You are 3.5 back in the division, 2 games back in the wild card, a very crowded wild card field with teams on the rise. Milwaukee, Atlanta, Colorado is suddenly very hot despite a loss last night. What's your date? What date do you have in mind where you start considering major changes to the roster or even to a staff?
Now, so I'm John Mozeliak.
You're John Mozeliak.
It can't be Charlie Marlowe's opinion on
this. No, you're in charge.
I just feel like knowing how they do business in the past, knowing how Mo does business in the past, that they're going to wait until the trade deadline to certainly bulk up the starting rotation. And whether you disagree with this or not, I think the Cardinals will want to see what they have with their internal options. They want to see what happens when Alex Reyes comes back, if they get anything out of him, if that's something that's elite or middle of the pack. I think they want to see how Carlos Martinez progresses, if he can build up at all. Do you give Daniel Ponce de Leon a chance? All I'm saying is I think they'll wait till that's probably around, what, game 100? Game 100-ish, and that's when they start to look external seriously.
If I'm John Mozeliak, first thing I'm going is, well, I want to wish the Blues good luck.
Yeah.
And this tonight.
Keep talking about the Blues.
Exactly.
And keep having rain delay.
Push that off. The rain was advantageous for us. Agreed with your assessment there, though. They're going to wait. And he will use the narrative, well, I've got Austin Gomber coming back pretty soon healthy. We're going to give him a shot at some point. Alex Reyes is going to get closer, and we're going to, you know, I have at least till the end of the month to figure out a little bit more on my starting staff in terms of the options here. Now, that's John Mozeliak talking. If I'm making a move or two, I'm already going, hey, what can I get to bring in here? I need a veteran guy that I can bring in here now to fix things in the next 2 weeks, because that also means I get more starts out of that guy to help kind of solidify things. If I'm just throwing out a name, Madison Bumgarner. Let's just say he was available. You brought him in here, and you got a chance to get him for June, July, August, and September. I'm getting him if I can. That way, I got that spot taken care of, and I can work on the other spots moving forward. That's if I'm Mo. I don't think Mo's going to do that, but that's what I would do.
And sorry, Charlie, I have to chime in here. I think it's time to
never apologize.
I think
Plaza's going to fire you right now.
It's about the time. No, well,
do you have that power?
I don't have that authority. I do not. However, I think it's time. We've seen this before, where you're trending at second or third. You know, you're kind of in that wild card race. You know, mathematically. And you make a subpar couple trades that you think would amplify the roster, doesn't end up happening. You finish just on the outside of the playoffs. You give up assets for this player. You may not sign, you know, Bumgarner or whatever. I don't know what a contract is. I think it is time to think about your future, as in 1, 2, 3 years from now. And the roster construction right now, and just it's it's not logical to think that you have a roster that could be filled out in a year or two if you let Ozuna walk without trading him at the trade deadline, which I think is priority number one in my opinion. You get as much asset as you can from players like Marcell Ozuna. I'm not saying a full rebuild. The team roster doesn't need a full rebuild, but to do that playing on the fence type scenario, and if we get lucky, we'll get a wild card. It just, to me, that makes no sense. And as a fan base, I'd rather be pissed off for 1 year and get a team for the future rather than hanging on the edge of my seat to see if we get the second wild card. That, to me, just doesn't make any sense.
But fans have been pissed for now. It would be 4 years.
Yes,
and that's the difference.
Yeah, and realistically, some fans, I don't know if I would, that should have started that rebuild a couple years ago. So this is what happens when you don't want to rebuild and break down a team from, you know, the ground up. This is what you get right now with that in between.
And I think the question that Hoff asked, there's two scenarios, in my opinion. And that is, you wait till the deadline when all these names you mentioned, whether it's a Stroman, a Bauer, a Mad Bum, there's going to be...
If Kluber comes back healthy...
Kluber's another one.
Okay.
Yeah, agreed.
There you go. So there's that batch of names, Tommy, but I think it's fair to say that's going to be around game 100. The other option is more immediate, and that's what is now kind of this new market for Dallas Keuchel. As you saw, Craig Kimbrell signed after the draft, no longer the pick attached. Kimbrell gets 3 years, $43 million.
Can't lose that first-round pick, Chuck.
But it makes you think now that Keuchel's going to get, I would think, a similar type deal,
yes.
Right? 3 years. Somebody's going to give him that. You've heard, it's been reported, the Cardinals are in on Keuchel. So are the Yankees, though, and some other teams. You just wonder if they'll win this bidding war if they really, really want Dallas Keuchel.
You are the St. Louis Blues. Now, you're going to have to do something to Boston that Boston, one of two things, hasn't done in a long time. At the very least, you got to beat them in back-to-back games, which would be something that Boston has not done. Lost consecutive games since April 27th and 30th to the Columbus Blue Jackets. If you want to lift the chalice at home Sunday night, you got to beat them in three straight games. Something that the Boston Bruins haven't done since March 10th, 12th, and 14th. How are you going to do it? What's going to be your secret to force Boston to do something they haven't done at a minimum in a month or as many as 2.5 months?
I don't think there's any secret, though. I just think it's Blues hockey, which is, it can be flashy. I mean, you can have some flashy moments. Petro toe drag with an O'Reilly or Tarasenko.
Yep.
I mean, just talent, straight talent goal at the net. But I think this Blues team is more about, and we don't even mention him enough, which is crazy because Jordan Binnington is the key to the entire Blues season. And I feel like even though he's a 25-year-old rookie, we don't even talk about him as much as we should with the fact that he's the entire reason the Blues are here right now. Without Jordan Binnington, the Blues maybe aren't even in the playoffs and aren't advancing. But when you look at their style of play in terms of the skaters, it is, we're just going to beat the hell out of you. We're going to beat the hell out of you. We did that to Winnipeg, to Dallas, to San Jose. Every single series went 6 or 7. This series, we know, now is going at least 6 and very possibly 7. And Blues hockey 2018-2019 is, we are going to batter you. We're going to get to a game 6 or a game 7. It's going to be a coin flip. And so far, it's worked out. It's nothing necessarily pretty, Jim. Doesn't have to be a secret. It's just, we're going to out-grit you.
Yeah.
And I think they can do that.
I'll add one more to this. And that is, stay out of the penalty box. If you stay out of the penalty box, you beat anybody in the league. Now, you're only playing Boston. That's the only team left. But if they stay out of the penalty box, they've proven they can beat anybody, and they can dominate anybody. They will dominate Boston if they stay out of the penalty box. And it is a war of attrition, and it will be won through that aspect. The Blues did it with Winnipeg early in the series. Winnipeg had a couple of, you know, nice games. But as the series went on, the Blues just kept beating them up, beating them up. Same thing happened with Dallas. And even though it went to Game 7, we all know the Blues dominated Game 7. If it wasn't for Ben Bishop, they would have blew them out. Same thing with San Jose. San Jose had a little bit of an advantage early, but the Blues just kept pounding them. And what happened? Like, three or four guys couldn't even play at the end of the series. I'm not saying three or four guys aren't going to be able to play for Boston, but you're already seeing with Chara, it's possible that he may or may not play. Gritzlick, he's going to try and go, but he's been beat up, and you just keep doing what you're doing and just keep pounding them. At some point, you're going to just make those guys, that defense, whether it's Moore Carlo, they're going to go, I'm going back here. I'm just going to get hit again. I'm going to get hit again, and I turn the puck over. That's how you're going to win this thing. It's plain and simple.
All right, number five, five for the guys, brought to you by Greenville University. You are head coach Craig Berube.
Berube.
You know how the game of hockey works, so it's probably not the best question to ask, or maybe the probably not great sportsmanship, but it's just the way hockey goes. Let's just say he plays. Who gets the first shot at Chara?
It's my fourth line. The fourth line, you go, Oscar?
Sonny.
Go get him. Dump the puck in and go get him, boys.
Feels like Sonny.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's probably not a fair question, but it's something that I'm sure they're considering.
It is part of it.
It's a part of the game.
Honestly.
It is. Now, here's the reality of it. No matter who hits him on the Blues team, they're bouncing off of him. He's just that big. I mean, you're going to go. You're going to hit him, but you're going to fall once you hit him. But, again, you hit him the first shift, but it may be the fifth time you hit him in the second period when it's finally, okay, you're starting to beat him up a little bit. Maybe you, I hate to put it this way, but you do something to his jaw by continually beating him up against the wall. But it's the same with any of those guys that are going to be playing tonight. You just send the puck in, start the fourth line, get it started early, because that's been your recipe for success, and that's how you intimidate your opponent.
And the other thing is, look, this is a man's game.
Yeah.
And you can't not hit someone because they're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly, you don't target injuries. I mean, you're not going to whack him in the face with your stick.
You're going to the box if you do.
Right. But my point is, if you see Chara and you got him lined up, you're not going to feel bad because he has a broken jaw. Everybody out there is banged up. And you have to play the exact same way that you would if he was healthy. And look, if you know he's out there and he's compromised, again, I'm not saying you're going to target his face, but you are going to see what he has. You're going to try to hit him and see if it's going to mess up his game or make sure that he can't, be the best player that he can be, which you got to think. I mean, if he's out there, it's going to be hard with a broken jaw 3 days ago to be that 22 minutes of ice time type of guy. But look, man, this is the Stanley Cup final. You're playing for a trophy that the Blues franchise has never won in 52 years. I mean, it's all hands on deck, and you're going to crush anybody out there. I don't care if they're healthy, slightly compromised. That's the way it is.
All right, that is five for the guys, brought to you by Greenville University. Before we wrap, I want to mention again, Bomarito Automotive Group, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at bomarito.com. Check out their new and pre-owned inventory. You can also check out where the nearest dealership is to you, because they have plenty of them throughout the St. Louis area, and they sell all types of brands and models. Bomarito, Missouri's number one automotive group.
All right, Hollywood Casino Press Box wrapping up, coming back with a totally new program. The Midday Grind, Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, the Peoria Plowboy. You're taking off, right? Matt Rocchio coming
Lousy.
In for the final hour, and Martin Kilcoyne will join us after the break, right here on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.